Recording in a secret location deep in the heart of the Smeelosphere, in a world where everyone rocks a stash like Harold. You're listening to C4 on CanucksHockeyBlog.com, the podcast that wishes it had abs like Chris Higgins.
Welcome to the 16th episode of C4 from CHB. That's Chris and Clay's Canucks Hockey Commentary from CanucksHockeyBlog.com. As always, I am Chris Golden at Light Force, not joined by my regular co-host, Clayton Emo, who happens to be somewhere other than here. But we have our producer extraordinaire, Matt Lee, as always.
How's it going, Chris?
Yeah, it's not bad.
I should say I'm MattLee980 on Twitter.
You should.
We're also joined by two guests filling in for Clay. Let's start with one of them.
Hey, it's Liz Moffitt here. Liz Moffitt at Twitter.
Well, that was a very great introduction.
Wasn't it? I'm really good at this.
We're a well-oiled blog.
You'd think because you've been on this before, this was second nature to you, but it's not.
One would think, and yet, nope.
And who else are we joined by? But
JJ Guerrero at Canucks Hockey on Twitter.
Yeah, you're the blog father.
Apparently.
Blessed by his presence.
Yeah, and I like how we're in some hotel room somewhere in Vancouver, courtesy of our grand blog father.
Well, you know, I do what I can to keep you guys happy.
Mm-hmm. Serving us beverages with color and booze.
So, tell me, Chris, this is your last podcast before you scurry off to Hawaii for...
Yeah, something about that, right? I'm getting married and all.
You're tying a knot of some sort?
Allegedly, and I'm curious, the whole tying a knot thing, like what that is, if it's just proverbial, or literally, do I have to go and tie rope? Because I'm not good.
Well, we've actually had marriage advice from Clay before, but now that JJ's here, you can get more marriage advice.
Oh, yeah, you're married.
Oh, yeah, I'm the guy you should be asking for marriage advice.
Okay, Liz. I know you're not
well,
married.
Well, why don't you just take what JJ says and not apply it and do the exact opposite
of what
that
I
is how I've gotten myself through life to this point.
Is doing the opposite of what JJ
opposite
does.
Of JJ. What would JJ do? Not that.
It's like that episode of Seinfeld, George Costanza. Do the exact opposite. It works. He got the girl.
You presume I watched Seinfeld.
Oh, well. Figured you were that generation.
Sorry, that generation, we're pretty much the same age. What the hell?
That's exactly it. That's exactly my point.
Well, I'm insulted.
Yeah.
So we're actually shaking up the format of the podcast today, Chris.
We are?
We are.
I haven't prepared, so tell me, what are we doing?
Well, we normally have Rewind.
Yes.
Half full, half empty, featuring the voices of Nicole Van Zanten to introduce us to every segment.
Mm-hmm.
But we're actually going to be talking largely about the Heritage Classic, which gets going tomorrow.
Just down the street.
It does.
You going?
And I am going. Are you going?
I am not.
JJ, are you going?
I'm not going, no.
I'm not going.
Is anyone here going?
Nobody asked.
I guess just me and Nicole are going. And we'll also be talking about the trade deadline. I mean, apparently there's some sort of news that's happening around Ryan Kesler. And maybe Roberto Luongo.
You know, my money is completely on the fact that the Canucks are not going to make a trade.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see
what
you hear.
You heard that first. The Canucks won't trade anyone. Squat. Luongo said it. You ask for a trade, you never get it.
Good thing you're getting married, because you ask for something and you never get it too.
Wow.
Ba-da-cha!
So here we are, less than 24 hours away from the Tim Hortons Heritage Classic between the Vancouver Canucks and the Ottawa Senators. So I'm a little bit curious, but how did we feel about the concept when it was first announced? Matt, tell me.
I thought it was pretty stupid, to be honest.
Yeah?
I mean, having an outdoor game inside BC Place didn't exactly scream Heritage Classic to me, because you've seen Heritage Classics like with the Montreal Canadiens and Edmonton Oilers way back when it first started with the idea. And this is not the same kind of concept. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is inside BC Place. You're going to have 50,000 people. It doesn't feel wintry. That said, I had the privilege of being at this morning's morning skate, and I've warmed up to the idea a little bit because of the fact that it's a completely different atmosphere inside BC Place with the roof open, the ice rink, the fake snow going on. So I'm interested to see if this game is going to live up to the hype that a lot of people have for it.
Sure. Liz, JJ?
I think, yeah, like, I think it'll be a cool atmosphere. I don't think it'll be the best actual game watching experience, judging from the photos I've seen so far. You don't really get to see much actual hockey.
Well, see, and this is what I had spoken to, I think, much earlier, in that the sight lines from BC Place to the rink that will be in the middle of the stadium won't be that good. I mean, I think there are going to be a lot of people who will be sitting in the stands who are there for the experience watching on this giant TV up in the sky. It'll be nice if the roof is open. The weather, though, doesn't seem to want to give us really any indication. It could actually snow in Vancouver for a outdoor game, which is kind of pretty funny, because I think when it was first announced, we were thinking it was going to be monsoon weather.
Well, and I think there's still a chance that it's going to be monsoon weather, but yeah, I think like most people around here, when they heard about the game was going to be at BC Place, the first thought was, well, this isn't exactly an outdoor game. It's definitely not what it was in Edmonton, what it is in Pittsburgh right now, tonight, you know, as we're taping this. You know, so, I don't know, I'm a little bit lukewarm about the event, but, you know, from the, like, you know, from what Matt's been saying and some of the folks that have been inside the stadium earlier today, you know, we might have a decent game after all.
Well, it is the Heritage Classic, you know, between Vancouver and Ottawa. Yes, we're wanting to relive the one and only time the Stanley Cup made its way out here to Vancouver, which, as most other fans of every other NHL team try to point out, it wasn't the Canucks. So how does that make us feel? Would we have rather had a different opponent?
Yeah, it would have been a lot more sexier if you had an original six team or someone that the Canucks actually have an actual rivalry with. But the fact that they're hyping this up as a revisiting of the 1915 Vancouver Millionaires, Ottawa Senators, or Ottawa Sevens, or Ottawa, what is it?
I think they were the Senators back then.
I don't even know.
67s at some point.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a 100-year-old matchup that really has no relevance whatsoever to either team nowadays. So for me, I was a little surprised that it was announced as Ottawa as the opponent.
Well, but if you're talking about Original Six and we're talking about Heritage Classic, that gives us Toronto and Montreal. So if it's not going to be Ottawa, is it going to be Toronto? Is it going to be Montreal? And where's the heritage in that?
Well, the spotlight would have shone brighter if it was Toronto or Montreal, wouldn't it?
Oh, I think so. But I actually think you would have had to argue, what's the heritage, though? And that's the heritage. At least now we have a Stanley Cup game that took place nearly 100 years ago between these two teams.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't around then. JJ might remember.
I was a toddler back then, so not a lot of memories.
No.
But you know, even playing one of the Alberta teams would have been great. Can you imagine playing Calgary?
Playing Heritage Edmonton Classic would have been okay.
Can you imagine a bench brawl at the Heritage Classic with John Tortorella going nuts from the BC Lions dressing room? That would have been
that
something.
Actually would have been something if this had happened to be the first time that Vancouver played Calgary since Torts' return. Then there would have been a storylines galore.
Then you could have got some sellouts going on.
I think so.
Oh yeah, I'm a little bit curious what we're going to see in the ring. And there, it is a big stadium, and I've heard many times over the course of this week that some tickets have been just released. Tickets have just been released, and it concerns me that there are still tickets just being released. So, maybe a Calgary game would have guaranteed that no tickets were being released because they were all gone. Anyhow, being that there's no real rivalry between these two teams, what are we expecting to see?
I mean, I'll go by saying that playoff-wise, the Canucks and Senators are both in a position right now where they're fighting to get into the playoffs. So if you look at it on paper, it's going to be two desperate teams who need the 2 points. So, I mean, I talked to Zach Kassian about this today, and he says that's what they're going to do. They're going to treat this game like a must-win, because despite the fact that this is a novel idea, they're going to be at BC Place, they are focused on getting the 2 points. So, from that aspect, you'd think that the Canucks are going to come out as intense as they like to, or as they should be, and treat this like a playoff game. So, if that's the case, maybe the on-ice product itself will be entertaining.
Okay, well, I actually look at much the same way. I can't see the Canucks not coming out and taking this, you know, like a playoff game. And at the point that they're in the season, they need to consider every game a must win just to make the playoffs. And I know we'll talk about this a little bit later on, whether or not that's a good thing. I'm a little bit more curious, though, as to how the environment, the actual atmosphere, weather, what have you, will play into this. I mean, we did see the game, actually seemed to work quite well down in California where it was outdoors in the sun. I think the biggest trouble they had were giant moths. We're not going to have that here in Vancouver. But it will be interesting. So, you know, if the dome's open, does that make for a better game?
Yeah, I think it adds to the atmosphere. I mean, again, just having the dome open this morning for the skate, it brought in a little bit more of a wintry feel. It was very cold inside, and I think that added to the element of this being a heritage classic. So, if it's open, it'll add to, you know, the atmosphere, and I think the fans will really get up for something like that.
Sure. Liz, anything to add?
Will the crowd be loud tomorrow?
I think so. I mean, you have, what, 18?
50,000
plus. I'm good at numbers.
Somewhere between 18 and 50,000.
Somewhere, who knows?
Yeah.
But I mean, we've seen, you know, in the past, sometimes the Canuck crowd can be kind of quiet sometimes. And I'm saying, if just because this game is outdoors, quote unquote, is that going to make change the way they perceive this game? Is it going to be a louder atmosphere just because of that?
I think so. I think there's a bit of a different kind of fan buying tickets than the. Maybe for, like,
mm-hmm.
a particular game. I think that the people who do go to make a lot of noise are purposefully going to this game
mm-hmm.
since they want it for the atmosphere.
JJ, you've been to games. You've been a season ticket holder before. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a... It's definitely going to be a different atmosphere. I think the fans will get into this one. It's a bit of a novelty. It's, you know, first time that there's going to be an event of this or a hockey game with this many people here in Vancouver. So I think they'll get into it. I think they'll be loud, you know, but... Would it be as exciting as, say, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs or Stanley Cup finals or something? I don't think it's going to be that way. It's going to be fun.
See,
a lot of people are going to have fun.
And that's where my take is that instead of it being a Heritage Classic, why not make it a Stadium Series game? And had we had a Chicago in or a Boston or somewhere where there was a rival, heck, I'd invite California up here so they can beat us,
mm-hmm.
As California has all season long. But there would have been sort of that guarantee of atmosphere.
Yeah.
Ottawa is just, that's the risk to me, and considering we're putting so many people into the rink, there will be a novelty factor, and there will be noise, there will be mm-hmm. atmosphere, and then it's all dependent on the quality of the play on the ice, which hopefully isn't like we saw just a night or so ago, where I kind of dozed off in the second period.
Yeah, completely false.
So at no point in the last few months you've...
No.
Suggested...
No, guys, I don't want to talk about this after today. And I don't want my teammates to talk about this. I don't want you guys to ask them. And I don't want to be a distraction. So, you know, we have 21 games to make playoffs. And that's the main focus. And that's what the focus should be on is those 21 games and making playoffs. And
you're happy to be here then, right? Happy
yeah.
Enough?
Yeah, I'm happy. I love my teammates. I love the city. You know, my son was born here. They grew up here. Yeah.
If the club came to you and said, we've got an offer when you waive your no trade clause, how would you respond to that?
No, I don't like to comment on what ifs. You know, they haven't, and, you know, I don't even want to think about that. No, I never comment to anybody that I wanted out. My heart is with this team and making playoffs.
Okay, so we were going to start this segment by talking about Ryan Kesler, but today's news came out, and now I guess we're talking about Roberto Luongo again, and suddenly it's 2013 again. So let's start the segment off by saying, if Eddie Lack gets the start tomorrow, does that signal some sort of change in the guard in terms of who's starting goaltender from now on?
I don't think it does. It either leads me down two different paths. One, Luongo's hurt. He picked up something in Sochi, which it doesn't seem to be the case.
Russian flu?
Yeah, the Russian flu. Maybe he was hanging out with Vanek. Who knows? I think it goes down another path is you don't want to risk injury for someone who might be on the block and out of town by Wednesday.
And JJ, I know you were pretty vocal about this before we went on the air, so you tell me what's your opinion of this whole situation. I mean, this just gets more and more bizarre if you think about it.
I don't understand it. I don't understand the decision at all. I mean, I can understand that Lack's playing well. Torts wants to ride the hot hand, but this is a special event. You know, we talked about in the earlier segment, this special event that doesn't happen very often, and symbolic more than anything. Lou's been your number one goalie. He should get the start.
Regardless of whether or not Lack was the better goaltender?
It doesn't matter. Lou's your number one goalie. And Lats already had a couple of good games, and he started a couple of games, right? You know. Well,
and I think what's telling, though, is you look at in social media, some of the most ardent Luongo haters are actually questioning, why would Lats get the start?
But like
even friend of the blog, Justin, you know, at who's the biggest Luongo hater there is.
Next to the Dadley.
Well, next to that, the Dadley actually messaged me earlier and was like, you know, I actually feel bad for the guy. When
That says something.
I haven't seen him say it directly, but this was a game that Roberto Luongo obviously had circled on his calendar ever since they announced this game. He said he had looked forward to playing in an outdoor game his entire career. And now imagine yourself being a guy like Roberto Luongo and facing the possibility of the fact that you're not starting this game and you're losing the start to a rookie goaltender. Liz, how would you feel if you were him?
Well, not great. I feel like there has to be some sort of information that we aren't aware of right now for the choices to be made like they are, because you're not just going to... I feel like you wouldn't do that to, you know, your veteran starter, because it's going to make him feel pretty shitty.
Well, someone on Twitter, and I wish I could give credit where credit is due, had said that if this is the case, if let's say Eddie Lack does start over Luongo, and there is absolutely no reason, either medically as to why Luongo can't start, or, you know, in regards to if he was in the training block, is that it sort of shows the Vancouver Canucks are lighting their own tire fire here, because it's going to attract attention. It's going to attract conversations, whether it be from the press, whether it be from fans, asking what's going on. And it occurs to me that the Vancouver Canucks as an organization would probably not like to attract unwanted attention. You've seen almost every player try to get away from having to answer the same questions over and over and over, and this is like the same thing all over, as if we've gone and rewind back to 2013.
Let me ask you guys both a hypothetical question. Do you think, based on what you've seen from Eddie Lack this season so far, he deserves to even have a look as a starting goaltender in the NHL, or would you like to see a bigger body of work?
Well, I think he's shown enough that he's got that potential. Now, whether or not the Canucks should hand over the reins to him right now, as in trade Luongo now, make Lack the starter, make Erickson the backup, or whatever it is, I mean, that's the risk the organization's going to have to take. I mean, they've already said they want to do some sort of a rebuild or a reset or whatever it is. And, you know, Lack's not a bad goalie. You know, he's shown in with a small sample size that he can handle the load. But, you know, just like what we went through with Corey Schneider, until we saw that Schneider can handle 40, 50, 60 games a year, you know, we're asking the same questions to Flack now.
Liz, I mean, we're 6 months, you know, later after the Schneider trade, or roughly around there anyway. Are you surprised that we're already going through this once again? I mean, I thought that at this point the ship would have sailed on the whole Luongo being sent out of town thing. Are you surprised that it's happened this quick?
I am. I remember when Lack was the backup, people were already questioning if he was even ready to be the backup after being injured for part of last season. And I'm probably the biggest Lack supporter there is.
No!
I know, right? It's a major shocker. But even, like, I don't think that he is necessarily ready, at least not this season, to be a starter. It's just, it's a lot of responsibility to take your first season.
But if you're, if let's say it's because Luongo is, you know, potentially on the block to be traded out of town, and the Canucks were going to go and blow the team up and completely rebuild, it would make sense that that's the direction you would go. You weren't going to bring in a proven starter to rebuild with. You're going to go and you're going to use with what you have, especially this late in the season.
But we've gone through the whole Luongo trading thing, though. Where are you going to... Where is he going to go?
I'm not saying there's a market for him. I mean, we just saw Miller move, and that was the one goaltender in the market that, you know, had potential. Maybe there's a Miller suitor who feels a little bit jilted, and
yeah,
and they might now want to go and take a look at Luongo contract and otherwise. But I just it doesn't make sense. But, you know, who knows? Maybe by the time you're listening to this podcast, it is Luongo starting, and it's just a dirty rumor.
Well, let's get back to the news that created the tsunami among Canuck Nation earlier this week, and that is Ryan Kesler, of course. Let me start by asking all of you, do you want the Vancouver Canucks to trade Ryan Kesler?
Do I want to? No. But the more I think about it, again, going back to sort of where the focus for, or what the mindset for this organization is right now, if they were going to do a reset rebuild, I mean, if Ryan Kesler does want out, he's going to fetch a nice package, or he should. He's one of the top, he'd be a starting center on probably 25 other NHL teams out there.
And you know, Mike Gillis's track record hasn't been, you know, trade high. So with Kessler and how he's playing, he's
healthy. Yeah, he will be trading high.
That's right. To me, this is the time you do it.
Mm-hmm. Chris, do you believe that they'll trade Ryan Kessler within the next few days, or do you think that they're looking towards trading him closer to the draft?
Well, this is a tough question for me to answer, because part of me as a fan wants the Canucks, obviously, to have a shot, therefore make the playoffs. Trading Ryan Kessler is tantamount to saying that's not going to happen. The Canucks are actually going to be quite weak down the middle at that point. You'll have Hank, you'll have Schrader, I guess you'll have Richardson, obviously.
Well, you'll have Brandon Sutter.
Well, yeah, okay. There, at least the solution. Stanley Cup, here we come. But I would prefer, if he was going to be traded, to actually be done when the cap starts to go up, because to me, that's going to create the perfect environment for an auction. Sure, trade deadline and the Stanley Cup push has a number of teams desperate, but that's not going to get you the best value. Auctions always get you the best value.
Liz, I mean, your take on the whole Ryan Kessler situation, do you believe it's a smart decision to move Ryan Kessler, or would it be more wise to just keep him in the long run?
I fully believe that they're probably shopping him right now. I think that management's smart enough to know what they should wait to get for him, and if they're not going to get it before Wednesday, then I think then the auction would be the better idea. So, but I'd be okay with missing the playoffs this year rather than, you know, doing another one round thing and being out in, you know, what, 4 or 5 games,
as long as it's not 1997.
That's all you're gonna say, isn't it?
Well, I'm an old timer. I've been around in some dark days.
I understand.
I actually remember some of the 80s.
Hey, imagine having a crushed childhood watching that team.
Right? Hey, I worked.
I was like 9.
I worked in the arena during those dark years. I saw Harry York playing with Mark Messier and Brian Glynn and all those guys that you've never heard of again.
I saw Harry York play.
Versatile guy, defenseman.
Let's not talk more about Harry York, JJ. For those who are in the don't trade Kessler camp, I mean, do you agree that he's the emotional engine of the team at least? I mean, looking at the team as a whole on paper, it seems as though, you know, he has that spark that very few of the Canucks forwards have.
Fair enough, but I don't necessarily say that he's the emotional engine.
Well, who is?
Well, I'm not going to say he's not, but I think that if you look at what the Canucks have, I mean, to me, Bieksa has the same capability to be that emotional engine. Sure enough, he's not in the front, and that, you know, serves to take what he can contribute. Ryan can obviously contribute more, but if let's say Ryan does get traded, you have someone like Bieksa. If though the plan is simply blow up the core and bye bye core, Sedins are the only untouchable, which I think is what Bob McKenzie has said seems to be the case, then yeah, I'm a little bit concerned, because who is going to be that emotional core?
Ryan Kessler has built his reputation on being the guy who can play in all situations, and that includes playing against the top opposition on every night. Liz, if they trade a guy like Ryan Kessler, does that suddenly mean, you know, the guys like Jordan Schrader, Brad Richardson are going to all of a sudden eat those tough minutes, and do you think that they can even succeed in that position?
I think they probably could. I mean, just because they haven't had the opportunity yet doesn't mean they aren't capable of it. I mean, they're in the NHL for a reason. They're able to step up.
But Ryan Kessler does take big minutes. How does Schrader go and fill in for Ryan Kessler? I mean, maybe Richardson could do a stretch.
Well, this is assuming we get something back that could help fill in that gap, though.
I don't know. For me, two-way centers like Ryan Kessler don't just grow on trees. I mean, this is a guy who, again, like we've said, plays in all situations. And I think I talked to TJ Oshie after the game against the Blues. He said that he thinks that there would be 29 other teams that'd be interested in a guy like Ryan Kessler just because he plays in all situations like that. I mean, we saw in the Olympics, Ryan Kessler blocked a shot with his hand, and I don't think anyone else on that American Olympic team was even thinking about that. I mean, this is a guy who plays with a lot of heart, a lot of soul, and that's not easily replaced. And I feel like, as much as people think and believe that Ryan Kessler would command a big return, is he easily replaced at all?
Well, no, he's not easily replaced. And I think that's where the challenge is for Mike Gillis, that, you know, he's got to find the balance here between the, you know, accommodating Kessler's request, we're assuming here that he wants out, and what's best for the organization. And at the same time, Gillis, I think, has to balance that, you know, the Canucks need to make the playoffs. I mean, the playoff revenue is going to be big for this ownership. You know, you're talking $2-3 million a game that, you know, the Canucks could per home game that the owners need, you know. So I don't know. I mean, you don't just replace a guy like Ryan Kesser. I don't think you can, unless you've got like an Eric Staal or Getzlaff or something like that that's coming back. You're not going to replace Kessler. What you're hoping to do, though, is get a decent enough return that could eat some of those minutes so that Schrader doesn't play 20 minutes a game. You know, now what that looks like, I mean, we're hearing from Pittsburgh, Rossi from the Pittsburgh Tribune. He tweeted that the Penguins offered Brandon Sutter a choice of Simon Dupre and Dumoulin, a couple of defensemen, I guess, and a first-round pick and a third-round pick from the 2014 draft.
Is that enough, though?
Is that enough? Well, I personally, I don't think that's enough.
Well, but no, but that's the thing, is that's where, back to my point about an auction, to me that might be enough to what would be happening for a team who's pushing for the cup, who's maybe higher towards the cap, but you go to open market with an auction. Cap goes up, teams have room.
I understand that. I do think this it's a bit of a different year, because this year there are probably 25 teams that are still in the playoff hunt as of, you know, with 20-some games, or not even 20 games left in the season. So you're really, by doing the auction now versus doing the auction at the draft, you're probably only eliminating 5 teams. And those teams would be like Calgary and Edmonton, and teams that Ryan Kesser would not waive their no trade.
But there are also there are a good number of teams who are right at the top of the cap, and they're out. They're simply out by default. They can't afford to go and bring in a $5 million Ryan Kesser, or $7 million, what is his cap hit?
$5 million.
Yeah, they can't bring in a $5 million Ryan Kesser because they have to be giving a $5 million back to Vancouver, and I'm entirely sure Vancouver is willing to take on anything more than prospect dollars.
You mentioned that Ryan Kesler's cap hit. It's a very cap-friendly contract as well, and I think that plays into the fact that his trade value is a little bit more higher than it normally would be. So despite that, and despite his underwhelming numbers, he's actually leading the team in scoring. So how is trading a guy like Ryan Kesler, who's got 21 goals this year, for a guy like Brandon Sutter going to suddenly cure the Canucks' goal-scoring problems?
It's not. It doesn't,
and that's not what the purpose of it would be. The purpose of the trade is simply to allow you the freedom and flexibility to start to rebuild. I think the Canucks are well beyond the retool phase. It's the window has slammed shut.
Ouch. And
with what they have, they need to adapt, and while sure the cap's going up, every other team is going to have the same flexibility the Canucks will. And if you're fighting for that free agent, what do the Canucks have that can convince a player to come here for less than go somewhere else?
That's a tough question to answer, Chris.
It's easier to convince
free agents to come to a city or to a team when they're winning.
That's right.
You know, when you look at, you know, 2010, 2011, all those guys that are signing long-term deals and discount deals and all that stuff, you know, the Canucks were a contending team. They were favored to win the cup. Players want to be part of that. Anyone that's played sports knows they want to be part of the winning team, whether they're a first-line guy or a third-line guy, or, you know, just sitting on... Ask Luongo, you know, who played one game against Norway in the 2014 Sochi Olympics, right? They just want to be a part of it. And, you know, to sell players to come to play for the Canucks, and the Canucks are, you know, not as good a team as they were before, it's going to be difficult.
One of the biggest red flags about Ryan Kesler, whether it's fair or unfair, is his health concerns. Given how many games he has missed over the last few years with injury, he's had two major hip operations in his career already. How do you feel about Ryan Kesler health-wise?
I think he's fine. I look,
durability-wise.
I think he's a durable player, but considering how often he sort of plays with what quote-unquote heart, where, you know, body goes before. I've said many times I've never played hockey. I grew up playing soccer. But I would have been the type of guy who would have run headlong into a goal if it meant that I was stopping a ball from crossing the goal line. To me, team was more important than body. Now, truth be told, that could also be why I broke my ankle playing soccer and ended my soccer career. So I guess to what I'm trying to say with Ryan Kesler, yeah, there is some risk. But I would guarantee you nearly every coach in the NHL would love to have that player over someone who wasn't willing to pay the price.
The other thing about Ryan Kesler, does he exemplify leadership? He had his A taken away at the start of the season. Maybe that's why he's feeling a little sour about this whole situation, I don't know. But do you feel that Ryan Kesler is still a quality leader on the Vancouver Canucks?
My honest opinion, I think he leads by example. I've never seen Kessler as the type to be sort of that part of that real leadership group of the team. He's not. I don't think he's quite the same role model as, say, a Sedin or a Bieksa or whatever it is.
He's a pace setter. I mean, in terms of leadership styles, he's a do as I do.
Right. Exactly. Let's, but as far as being respected, you know, by... I don't know. I really don't get that impression.
I think that's completely fair. I mean, I think he plays like someone that people should make an example for, and he's probably not going to be that guy to, you know, give the speech in the locker room or to, you know, do that kind of thing, like you said, like a Sedin or Bieksa would, but not every team needs that. Some teams already have that. Like, you don't... I don't think that's, like, a make-or-break for him, at least.
I actually think he might be the type of guy who would sort of... Maybe not give that speech, but he would be the guy who would speak up. I mean, he'd be the F&A kind of guy. That's what I see, right? Now, you consider that type of player complementing what I would imagine Henrik or Daniel Sedin are like. I could not see Henrik or Daniel Sedin going, F&A... Right?
They're not rah-rah type of guys.
Yeah, they're not. So that's where there's that good balance. So I think, you know, regardless of whether or not he's an alternate or assistant captain or whatever the heck an A means, the, you know, these days, doesn't mean you're not a leader on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Considering everything we've just talked about, whether or not Ryan Kessler wants to stay, do you feel that a change of scenery for Ryan Kessler would be most beneficial for both parties? Liz.
Oops, sorry.
I guess it really depends if the rumors that he wants out are true. If they are, then, of course, then it'd be better for everyone if he moved. If they're not, then it's all kind of a moot point, I guess, and we're just talking about nothing.
JJ?
Sorry, what was the question?
I mean, considering everything we've talked about, do you think a change of scenery for Ryan Kessler is beneficial for both the Canucks and him?
I think it's beneficial for both. I mean, these guys want to the Canucks want to start retooling. If Kessler does want out, I mean, if it's mutual, it's mutual. They just kind of go their own ways.
Chris,
you know, much like Liz, JJ said, like, if he wants out, why keep him? Like, I'm of the opinion that, you know what, if you want to go, sure, see you later. Here's the, you know what, I'll drive him to the airport. If he needs a ride,
okay,
I'll drive
Brian
him to the
Burke.
Airport. But I would hope, like, I'm, and maybe this is just me, and I simply have had a little too much to drink, but I would hope a player wouldn't want to say, get me out of here. Like, and that's just my personality. I would not ask to be traded, but if someone were to ask me, hey, would you be willing to go? I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that that's the case. As much as Gillis has said he would never go and ask a player to go and say, hey, can you want to waive your NMC or NTC? I am really hoping that that's the case. Because if the player wants to leave, see you later.
Let's talk more about hypothetical destination for Ryan Kessler. We've already mentioned Pittsburgh as being an interesting trading partner. What you have in front of you on this list is a whole bunch of names from other teams that you think you could see Ryan Kessler being traded to. Aside from Pittsburgh, guys, where else could you see Ryan Kessler being moved to?
Well, it looks like you put 3 exclamation marks on the Blue Jackets.
Oh, I did.
So
I don't know how that got there,
Liz. I
think
you would like him to go to Columbus, but...
Wait, who has the exclamation marks
that
beside
That would be Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johansson.
Johansson. Oh, Johansson, sorry.
Ryan Johnson is retired, Liz.
Ryan Johnson could take those heavy minutes blocking shots.
I actually see here under Toronto, you also have garbage written.
Yes, I did have that. I wrote garbage, and then in brackets, just kidding, whatever.
I like
nice
your touch,
by the way.
In your note-taking here.
Producer Matthias, AKW98.
I also appreciate the Predators note here. Shay Effing Weber, now until eternity, $7.85 million.
That is correct. That is his current contract, from now until eternity.
Did you actually put Shay Effing Weber?
Why would I make that up?
Well, no, I couldn't. I mean, we're consuming some beverages.
Let's get back on track here, people. Aside from Pittsburgh, logistically, where could you see Ryan Kessler fitting?
Well, when you logistically, you also have to take into account that he's got a no-trade clause, and he can pretty much veto a trade to Toronto or wherever it is.
Or Columbus.
Or Columbus.
He wants
well, you
to
know
go
what?
To
he has ties with Columbus. I mean, he was he played for the Ohio State Buckeyes, so he's got some ties there. But he's got R.J. Umberger on the team, so maybe I don't know.
I think that's old history.
It could be.
I mean, I just don't buy anyone voluntarily going to Ohio. But that's just me.
I think Pittsburgh. I think Columbus is a team that's actually on the rise, though. I mean, they've made additions with guys like Nathan Horton over the years. They've signed Sergei Bobrovsky to a long-term contract. And I mean, those guys aren't game breakers by any means.
Bobrovsky!
Thank you, Chris. I think if you get a guy like Ryan Kessler on your team, all of a sudden you're that much closer to being an actual contender.
And, you know, the biggest move that they had in the offseason was prying John Davidson out of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And John Davidson, you built that St. Louis team that's a Stanley Cup contender right now.
Aside from Columbus, is there another place that you could see being a location for him?
Well, I mean, we talked about Pittsburgh. Philly, I would love, just because I love the young players that they've got on the Flyers. I mean, if you're talking Braden Schenn and Sean Couturier and, well, not Scott Lofton, because we don't really need another fourth-line guy, do we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, I mean, there's certainly some younger players there in Philly that interest me.
Actually, I'm a little bit curious. How deep is this upcoming draft? Not that deep, right?
It's not as deep as the year after.
That's
draft
right.
Will be
okay. So, because I guess part of me is of the opinion you send him to a team who's likely going to turn it around. Not that, I mean, maybe Ryan has said, okay, I'm going to go to these teams, or come and talk to me and we'll talk. But if we're talking about a team that he would probably go to, Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if Detroit would be willing to actually go and deal because of sort of the situation that they're in. I mean, they're sort of at that crossroads. Do we start to go to rebuild, or do we continue to go on the path that we've built where we seemingly are able to draft the best players ever out of the seventh round of the NHL draft?
But we also know that Ryan Kessler would likely not only waive his no movement clause to go to Detroit, he would probably be already gone to Detroit.
Oh, no, he'd be gone. And I think Detroit would love a player like Ryan Kessler.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would actually fit if they were to go down the path that, yeah, we've still got some gas in the tank.
Is Nyquist for real? Because I would love to have a scorer like Gustav Nyquist on.
I mean, we don't know how willing Detroit would be to part ways with a guy like Gustav Nyquist. I mean, he clicks on their top six.
Oh, absolutely.
But
the guys get some smooth hands.
Which ultimately begs the question about whether or not they'd be willing to move him in the first place. Because ideally, I think Detroit would look towards moving younger players like Tom Tatar or Thomas Yurko, in addition to maybe one of their key defensemen, Brendan Smith, Danny DeKeyser.
I don't know if they'd move a defenseman. I mean, they're still a little gun-shy over Lidstrom leaving.
Canucks can give them Edler, too, then.
Okay, sure. That's actually a great
deal. Well, you
deal
know what? We're watching the stadium series here with Chicago and Pittsburgh in the background, and there was a little blurb that I saw earlier that Chicago was interested in Ryan Kessler. And Chicago would be very interesting because they're obviously a rival. We know the history of the Blackhawks and all that sort of stuff. But not only that, they've got some prime prospects. We're talking Teuvo Teravainen and, you know, Brandon Saad and Peary and, you know, all those guys that could step in and probably play big roles for this team right now. But the big question is, do you trade a Ryan Kessler to your biggest rival?
That's a little weird. I mean, I'm having a hard time picturing Ryan Kessler in a Chicago Blackhawks jersey. But that said, I mean, there seems to be some sort of weird bromance with him and Patrick Kane for
yeah.
whatever reason. It's like a mutual respect.
I'll tell you this. Barry Rosner will probably have a heart attack if Ryan Kessler ever suited up for the Blackhawks.
Actually, I'm kind of impressed that that might actually happen.
One.
Okay.
So here we are at my favorite segment on C4CHB, that's Ask CHB. But Clay's not here, and I thought it would be appropriate that we actually shared his favorite segment, which is CHB Haiku. And who of all people wants to ensure that he gets on this podcast? Clay himself. Clay
he's
has
such an attention
what a,
grabber.
Yeah.
Well, regardless.
I hope he's not listening to this.
Matt, can you tell me a little bit about Haiku? We
oh,
to
it's
channel.
The power of the 575.
That's right,
there
the 575. So here.
You guys have that down pat. I love it.
Yeah, well, we're pros. We are awesome. But before we get into the haiku, I want your instant reaction when I read this out. Instant
that was
reaction.
That was good. That sounded exactly like Clay.
Okay, I'm ready.
Here we go. Coincidental. The podcast that I miss is the one where they drink.
Well, that's from Clay. Because I saw that on my Twitter.
Well, yes, that's CHB Haiku from Clay. Tell me something I don't know. Sorry, I was like... Well, that was Liz's instant
reaction. That was in the can. Thank you, Clay, for that.
Yeah, well, Clay...
And judging by our immediate reaction, he entirely correct.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
I'm going to retweet that.
He might
that.
Be judging slightly.
This yeah. is going to go down as the worst podcast of the season so far.
Well, I think...
Because we don't have him to keep us in line.
But if you think in terms of our podcast, it's progressively been going sort of downwards as we've continued to drink these beverages that JJ is serving us. So, before
it's good
we,
stuff.
It is. They are good. But before we wrap up, I do want to go with Ask CHB, and I'm just going to go serious here. We're actually ask a question of Twitter, and it's very simple. What will the Vancouver Canucks do with Ryan Kesler at the trade deadlines? We asked on Twitter, so many responses. I'm going to be able to give you just a couple here. So we have Nate Wells, who is at nnatedog with two G's, 978. That's a mouthful. Nate Wells tells us, if that Kesler for Sutter, Dupre, and Picks rumor is true, they will be too busy cleaning up after another fan riot.
Whoa.
You can't drop the R bomb in this city.
Simmer, for one. No one's going to riot over a trade.
Easily, Nate Dog. Let's dial it back 10%.
Well,
you need a lot more alcohol to start a riot, for one.
Okay,
and it needs to be summer because it's too
cold.
Based
on what Liz has had, we're already halfway there.
We are. Now, not Lanny McDonald, but Lance McDonald, who is...
Shut up, that's a real name.
Lance McDonald.
Lance is a real word.
No, McDonald. Lance is a name. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's one hell of a coincidence that the guy's name is Lance McDonald.
Well,
that guy must have been made fun of all the time.
What are you talking about? Good old Calgary Flame. Why would he be made fun of?
Well, I don't know. It's just weird.
I feel like you're, like, overestimating, like, the knowledge of, like, your typical middle schooler here.
I just like to point out, it's not good form to go and make fun of your
I'm sorry,
Twitter
Lance McDonald.
Guests.
We're really excited that you, like, tweeted at us.
Well, he is
That sounded sarcastic, and it wasn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's at It's All POTS, says, what will they do with Strombone 1, who we believe is Luongo?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he starting? Is Torts sour because Lou won gold? I'm not entirely sure how that tells
us
what's happening with Kesler, but...
I don't think it has anything to do with Kesler. What?
I don't know, maybe...
This was the worst response ever, Chris.
Yes,
I'm really confused by your, like... Because Torts, remember, was cheering for Sweden because then more Canucks would win a gold medal. That was all, by the way, blown way out of proportion.
Oh, completely. I have no problem with Torts.
I have
Torts
no idea why that became an issue.
I hate Ryan Kesler because he played for the U.S. That's all good. Now he plays for the Canucks.
Oh, my God. An American coach wasn't cheering for Canada? Oh, my God.
I know, JJ. Bleed
Shocker.
Over water.
This podcast is going downhill quickly.
Okay, here. Well, we'll wrap this one up. Mike Burgess, who is at MikeBurgess_3.
Hi, Mike.
Completely dropped the ball on the whole situation and settle for Marty Erat in a second in a year last 10 minutes of the deadline. So I think what Mike is saying is that the Canucks are going to trade Kesler for Diddly Squat and Marty Erat.
I feel like he's wrong.
Well, remember, because Marty Erat went last year's deadline for Philip Forsberg.
Oh, so he was telling a joke.
I think he's telling a joke.
Oh, you're funny.
Thank you, Mike.
And thanks, Mike. I like your joke.
There we go. And I would be remiss if we didn't go to Facebook, which is facebook.com/CanucksHockey. We have Jerry Lavendure, who says nothing. He'll stay in Vancouver. So Jerry doesn't think Kessler's going anywhere.
Interesting theory, Jerry.
I love the response.
Okay. Hi, Jerry.
How you doing?
How you doing, Jerry? Sup?
Something's going to happen. There is absolutely... You know what?
It's going to surprise us.
In all seriousness, Gillis is going to do something. He's not going to sit on his thumbs and whatever, right? He's going to trade someone. Who knows if it's going to be like a blockbuster Ryan Kesler, Alex Edler, Roberto Luongo kind of deal or whatever.
Super trade.
Hey, in 94, we had a super trade.
I was
the
four.
Canucks
I don't
barely
know.
Barely made the playoffs. And what happens? They go on a run.
Are we still at 94?
Yeah, totally. I'm going to go and say 94, 2011.
I can't appreciate your references because I was literally four.
Oh my God, Liz.
Yeah.
I was in great.
Almost fell asleep at the wheel there.
Born.
I was literally four.
Grade 10 when you were born.
Okay, let's wrap this up quickly.
Sure. So, final words, JJ.
I'm drunk.
Okay, Liz.
Well, that's inappropriate.
How much vodka did you put in this thing?
Oh my god, this is the worst podcast ever.
Well, I'm sitting here still impressed that Liz was going all sexy voice on some of our Twitter and Facebook guests. I thought that was pretty cool. I think we should do that more often.
Oh, wait, no, can I have a final thing to be like, go SFU, I hope Selkirk loses. Because
I guess you
go to
already
Castigar.
Did.
Yeah, you just put that on the podcast.
Selkirk, I hope you lose to SFU wins so I don't need to have to go to Castlegar in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Anyway, Ryan Kessler, I think, will be moved. I don't know where.
Yeah.
And I really think nothing is...
Ohio.
I really think nothing is going to happen with Roberto Luongo.
Okay. Well, my final word is, guys, I'm getting married in 2 weeks.
Yay!
It's going to be awesome.
Why?
When I come back, why?
That's not nice.
Because Marnie is the most beautiful and wonderful woman in the world.
Aww.
Aww. She
Marnie,
subscribes,
I hope you're queuing in.
She subscribes to our podcast. I don't think she actually listens.
Aww. Just tell her to, like, go to, like, the last minute.
Awesome. But I'm going to miss you guys while I'm gone in Maui. So, you know, please, you know, think of me fondly.
We'll tweet you all sorts of inappropriate
I'll think
things.
Of you when you're on your honeymoon.
So oh,
now you're going awkward again.
Now that's just creepy.
Okay.
This
and
podcast is done.
Bye.
And that's it for another episode of C4 from CHB. On behalf of CanucksHockeyBlog.com, I am Chris Golden signing off. Please leave us great feedback wherever you go, iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook.
Notice.
Oh my god.
Good luck keeping up with us. Amateurs.